I wandered in a sort of daze of foreboding among the multitudes of plinths, staring up at the multifarious combinations of beauty and grotesquerie, in awe of their diverse and dreadful physiques and physiognomies. There were vague monstrosities with multiple eyes, eyeless cephalopods, bipedal quasi-anthropoids with splayed heads, sleek white serpentines, and many-limbed insectile beasts with blanched carapaces, bulbous heads, and gangly antennae. A full range of xenozoological marvels, stark anomalies, and contrasting genera of different sizes, structures, and shapes. I could see in them the tones and textures of actual specimens, the biological matter of authentic flesh, the protoplasmic integrity of organic tissue and detailed anatomy, none of which displayed any evidence of injury, interference, or signs of decay. I realized with a measure of horror, mixed with excited fascination, that they had been preserved, all of them, through some kind of highly developed form of taxidermy or embalmment technique, or some other method of advanced scientific application. And then, with a gradual manifestation of its parts, I saw an outline that was familiar to me, that resonated with my own, the bipedal upright stance of a hominid species, which presented itself as I approached as unmistakably Homo sapiens. I slowed my pace as I drew within the range of its features, feeling a mounting dread as the facial attributes revealed themselves to me through the murky incandescence of the gloom. I recoiled in shock when I saw them. The face before me was distinctly human, but more than that, it was a face I recognized. I had seen the antique photographs, 300-year-old portraits, now adapted to the psychoactive viewing mechanisms for the seminal study of the historical annals, under the subject heading Personages of Distinction. And there she was, real and whole, and attired in her antique cloak. The esteemed, notorious, and somewhat eccentric scholar, Dr. Marion Tarknessus, the direct ancestor of my father's companion and director of operations, Professor Yanis Tarknessus, the mentor also of my own forebear, illustrious forebear, the distinguished archaeologist, Dr. Archibald McRae. I was standing, open-mouthed, gazing up at her, when I suddenly realized that beside her, there were another two figures. Another two human figures, both of whom, again, I recognized. Professor Yanis Tarknessus himself, wearing a biosuit of dated appearance, but with its helmet removed, and beside him, my father, Dr. Hector McRae. His eyes glistening, looking straight at me, and in those eyes, the welling of tears. A confirmation of the impossible, that he was alive. I fell to my knees in the response to the prolonged hammer blow of what I was seeing. My mind struggling to comprehend the mystifying implications of the enigma. Then I noticed something that caused me to reel in panic, as a new feeling of horror washed over me like some raging torrent. In the midst of the three of them, there was a plinth, its dais completely bare, entirely empty of human presence, intended, I knew immediately, instinctively, and without a doubt, for me. I already felt my body rising up against my will to take its place beside the living remnants of my father and the erstwhile members of the Tarknessus dynasty. I already felt myself being compelled to utter stillness by some insurmountable imposition of force. I was deposited upon the dais and manipulated into a position of unnatural rigidity. My arms slightly extended from my sides, my head tilted slightly forward, my legs held slightly apart, as if standing in witness to some meaningful apparition that inspired me to strike some appropriately melodramatic pose. And here I stand unto this day, rooted in perpetuity under the telekinetic impediments of the Triangulum, hopelessly alive as one of many among an intergalactic menagerie. Intergalactic menagerie of xenozoological marvels, projecting my thought casts outwards via the cerebral implants of the GXDX330 installation. Condemned, wondering if somehow, somewhere, someone is receiving my transmissions, listening to them, absorbing them, perhaps conducting a logistical and tactical survey of the feasible strategic outcomes of a new mission of search and recovery, and by that action, condemning themselves to the same fate as we have experienced, my father and I, and the grandees of the Taknassus dynasty, to languish in the quietus of our living torment and remain this way for the rest of time.